Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Islamic Pulse talk show. We are talking about the holy month of Ramadan. Assalamu alaikum and welcome, dear viewers, to the Islamic Pulse talk show. We are here in the studio talking about the holy month of Ramadan. Of course, as we are in this holiest of holy months, the holy month of Ramadan. To talk a little bit about this holy month, we decided to invite Sayyid Amir Bahbahani from Canada. So let's go ahead and invite him and start the talk show. Assalamu alaikum, Sayyid Bahbahani. Welcome to the Islamic Pulse talk show.
Wa alaikum assalam, Sayyid. And congratulations to all mu'mineen for the month of Ramadan.
Jazakallah, Sayyid Bahbahani. Thank you so much again for joining. Of course, we are in the holy month of Ramadan. These 29 or 30 days in which we are invited to this feast, this banquet, of the Almighty Allah. And of course, you know, something that alhamdulillah happens, once every year in our lives, but something that is very important is something that is very special. And we wanted to talk a little bit about these beauties of the holy month of Ramadan. And so we hand it over to you in the name of Allah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yes, this is a blessing to talk about the holy month of Ramadan. And you know, Sayyid, some of the talaba, mostly their preaching and missionary job is during the month of Ramadan. This is a blessing for us to be a part of the activity that goes on for the spiritual side of the holy month of Ramadan. Alhamdulillah, month of Ramadan, the holy month of Ramadan, which is actually emphasized in the narration to call it holy month of Ramadan, Mubarak, which is so important, is so respected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Prophet and Imam and Ma'sumin alayhim as-salam, that you have to call it holy month of Ramadan, not just Ramadan.
Right, it's very interesting giving it this extra special honor.
Exactly.
Right.
And this extra special honor is also, pointed out through a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Quran, which says Shahr Ramadan alladhi unzila fihi al-Quran hudan lin-nas wal bayyinat, so wa bayyinat min al-huda wal furqan. So the thing is that the Shahr Ramadan, the holy month of Ramadan, it is a special because it has that capacity of to be that time that revelation happened during that period of time.
Right.
You know, so this revelation that comes from high above to the earth, to our beloved Prophet's heart, it's happening during the month of Ramadan. And we are already talked about it in other lectures, that this basically, which we believe it's happened in the Laylatul Qadr, the night of Qadr.
Right.
This talks about that daf'i wahy, which is not the gradual revelation, the sudden revelation.
All at once.
All at once to the heart of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, yes, this is the special thing about this month. The month of Quran, the month of forgiveness, the month of basically the feast of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
So, Siyafatullah.
The Siyafatullah, exactly. So, this month, there's a lot of things happening in the Alam al-Ghayb, in the unseen world. So one of the beautiful hadiths that maybe if I start to explaining this beautiful, this is just reciting this beautiful hadith to explains what's happening during the holy month of Ramadan is in both Bahar al-Anwar and Usul al-Kafi, which is from our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which says that innal jannata latajid wa tuzayyin min al-hawl ila al-hawl. So I'm just going to go with the translation take up too much of time. So it says that the Jannah, the paradise, preparing itself from year to the next year in order to receiving the people of month of Ramadan of the next year.
Wow, subhanAllah. So paradise is preparing itself for one whole year
to the next year,
for the people that are fasting in the holy month of Ramadan.
Exactly.
SubhanAllah.
So, and it continues, it says that when the month of Ramadan starts during the first hours, what's happening is that there's a breeze that's going on in the Arsh Allah,
the throne of Allah.
And which it's called Muthira, that the name of that breeze. And then this breeze, which goes to also the paradise and basically moving the trees and their leaves, and start moving the rings, the big rings that are basically on the door of the doors, basically a couple of, we don't have one only door, we have many doors of paradise, and it start moving them and making sounds. And these sounds is like no sound that we hear, it's so beautiful. It's describing in this hadith, it's so beautiful that no one heard before.
And this is in the first few days.
The first few hours.
The first few hours, excuse
exactly,
me, of the holy month of
the
Ramadan.
The holy month of Ramadan, exactly. And then it says that, there is this angel called Ridwan, Ridwan, and he is basically the key holder of Jannah, of the paradise.
Yes.
So he, there is a question that is start asking to him that what's happening? What is this night? And he start answering that this is the night that the door of paradise is start opening towards the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then the hadith continues, it says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala order to command to Ridwan, to that angel, the key holder of paradise, to open the door of the paradise, and it asks to the key holder of hell to close the door of hell for the faster those people that do
fasting.
Fast during month of Ramadan among the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Peace and blessings upon him. Sayyid Babani, though, like, you know, and I wanted to kind of take a quick break here. And so, for example, we find that so it's 29 days or 30 days, right, depending on the sighting of the moon, where Muslims are fasting from dawn until sunset, you know, pretty much. And they refrain from basic things such as food and water, you know, and other basic desires. So here, where, you know, does one find the motivation? Where does one find this source of power to be able to do this? I'm sure that for many people it is relatively easy, you know, to refrain from these basic necessities. But when people, especially non-Muslims, ask us for them, you know, it is quite a big deal, right? How do you fast, you know? And then they say, from morning until night, you don't eat, you don't drink anything, you know, and then you do this for 29 days, you do this for 30 days. It's really surprising to them. So for a Muslim, for themselves, and even for one who's answering to a non-Muslim, right, what is this source of power and what is this motivation for us to be able to do this for 29 and 30 days?
Sayyid, you just remind me of one of the time that I was during the month of Ramadan. That was a missionary purpose in one of the northern city in Norway, where they had to fast for 21 hours a day.
Wow.
And
that's almost 24 hours. Yeah.
So I remember some of the people that I saw in the beginning of month of Ramadan, during the last day, they were so skinny and they were lost a lot of weight. And you know, in those city, they had to go to the job too. You know, at the same time they were fasting, they were going to their work. And mashallah, they were fasting 21 hours. And some of them, they tell me, I was asking them how you do, because I was like a missionary, so I wasn't fasting because I was traveling to city city. And I was amazed even myself.
21 hours.
And he, the guy was telling me that, you know, during these 3 other hours or 4 hours that I have the time of eating, I don't even, I cannot even eat.
Yeah. You're not hungry after.
So I just eat a little bit of bread or something. So yes, of course there is a spiritual power. There is a rahmah and blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that helps the mu'mineen to the fasting part. But if someone asks you, if a non-believer or someone that is interested in Islam and is asking question about this part, I would say that the answer to this question for that non-believer, it would be that the fasting part, the not eating part of fasting is not this the difficult part.
Right. Interesting. Yeah.
You know, because you have to explain to them that fasting is not only about not eating.
Right.
You know, as one of the beautiful hadiths of Hazrat Zahra, salamullah alayha, he says that fasting is not all about eating. That person that doesn't control his tongue, his ears, his eyes, and his body movement to not perform any gunah, any basically sins.
Right.
He doesn't or she doesn't benefit anything from his fasting.
Right.
So the I would say, and it is mentioned in hadith, that controlling your stomach or controlling your basically the non-eating part of fasting is not the most difficult part.
Right, right.
So most of us in society, you could see the normal people, most of us, we are used to talk, basically backbite others maybe.
Right, backbite, or gossip
and stuff like that. And all these are basically are preventing your fasting to become accepted in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the part that is, I would say, is more difficult than the non-eating part.
Right, right.
But of course, the non-eating part, and we see it ourselves, we have, every year, we come to this
Feast of Allah.
When it gets closer to Ramadan, we are basically excited to get to Ramadan because of the spiritual environment, the spiritual basically circumstances we are getting to. But
right.
about the non-eating part, we are worrying, like, how I'm going to do it.
Right.
But when Ramadan starts, we're like, wow, I just did it 10 days. Oh, 15 days passed. And at the end, you're like, why this month is finishing? At the end, you don't want it to end. So, of course, there is a spiritual power.
And, go ahead.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the last part of that hadith that I was reciting, it is says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked Jibreel, the angel of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to basically prevent all shayateen, all basic shaitan and his army, to prevent them and lock them down in order to not have access to the mu'mineen anymore.
Right, right.
And you know, in that every night of Ramadan, it says, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that Allah says, في كل ليلة من شهر رمضان ثلاث مرات. Three times every night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this. هل من سائل فأعطيته سؤاله. So, is there anyone that wants to ask anything to me that I give? هل من تائب فأتوب علي. Is there anyone that wants to repent so I accept? هل من مستغفر فأغفر له. Is there anyone that needs forgiveness so I forgive? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the end of, he says that all these time of Ramadan, there is thousands and thousands of people that are forgiven every night of Ramadan, and especially during the nights of Friday.
Yes.
During the Thursday nights of month of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is a riwayat I was looking at, that there is thousands and thousands of people that are forgiven and are basically promise to enter into paradise. And it says at the last day of the month of Ramadan, there is mashallah, like lots of people that basically get forgiving. And there's a hadith from our beloved Prophet. It says the most miserable person is that there is a
who is not forgiven by the end of
the month of Ramadan. Yeah, exactly. The Ramadan passed away and he's not still being forgiven. Right. So this is a month of forgiveness, a month of blessing, and a month of basically a barakah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And any action, there's many riwayah about that. Any action that we do, any good deed that we do, any recitation of Qurani, basically, ibadah that we do is counted as multiplied time at its normal time.
In normal times, right.
For example, Quran, we have a direct and very clear hadith that every verse of Quran that you're reciting during the month of Ramadan, it counts as reciting the whole Quran during other months. And also, we have a riwayah that says even sleep right. of a mu'min, is it worship. Counts mm. as a worship, as an ibadah.
As an ibadah.
But mm. there is that specific hadith, inshallah, we will talk about those action that basically are obstacle in order to get that our fasting get accepted. It says in the same riwayah, it says, first part is that even the sleep of a mu'min is counted as worship, but right. if he doesn't backbite.
You know, Sayyid, here is interesting because one of the things that you had brought up was this idea of the non-eating, non-drinking fasting that we are doing. And you know, you brought this beautiful tradition from Her Eminence Lady Fatima Zahra alayha salam. You know, and fasting, it just seems to be such a beautiful worship because it encompasses all these different aspects, right? And the most basic level, as you said, is this not eating and not drinking. A lot of times we don't realize the amount of strength and power and control that teaches us, right? So for a human being to be able to control basic necessities, when you're thirsty, you want to go drink some water or some juice. You know, when you're hungry, you do want to go and eat some food. But if, in order to gain the satisfaction of the Almighty Allah, in order to gain the pleasure of the Almighty Allah, and in order to obey the Almighty Allah, we control these basic desires and these basic necessities, you know, for that reason. And then the next level, as you said, is this level of, you know, your moral and ethical control over the sins that one might commit, right? Or promoting oneself to do good things. And so I don't know if you wanted to comment on that, how this holy month of Ramadan teaches us this complete control of the soul over the human body.
Of course, when it comes to the effect of the fasting and non-eating during month of Ramadan, people usually refer to that effect that is basically people, the ghani, the wealthy one, try to experience the poor or needy people style of living, but right. they don't have enough food to eat sometimes. Right. So this is basically one of the effect that most people do understand, that when we stop eating during the month of Ramadan mm-hmm. for a while, we understand that those needy person, they don't have enough money or access to food, how they feel, how they are in basically hardship to do any of their daily activity during their life. But this is not the only effect.
Right.
What is beautiful about the different the other ahadith, it says that also fasting, Imam Raza alayhi salam says that fasting is basically there is a kind of remembering, there's the effect of remembrance for for a person that basically give them a ground to practice in order to be obedient towards the takalif, towards the ahkam,
the duties
that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala,
and the things that are
exactly.
obligatory. And
so this is a practice in order. How is it practiced? Is the willpower that you get, right? That you are not eating because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put wajib, wants you to not eat during the month of Ramadan. And this is a practice, right? And also there's another hadith that talks about the controlling of desire. Or lust, you know, controlling of the those desire, worldly desire, all these things. Because of course, the first and most important need that one's body needs is eating. When you get a control over that, you get power. You get more strong. Basically, you're strengthening your willpower to control your body and worldly desires.
I want to just add very humbly, Sayyid Babani here. So, for example, we do find that fasting has been prescribed in the religions, let's say in Judaism and in Christianity. And so this is, a very interesting thing, right? Even in the Holy Quran, it says that fasting has been prescribed to you as it was prescribed to those before you so that you may become righteous, right? And so we find that in the Jewish faith, in Judaism, in Christianity, fasting does have an important place in it, right? I believe there are certain days of the year that Jews and Christians, they both fast, right? And even if you look at the non-Abrahamic religions, for example, Buddhism, you find that in Buddhism, fasting is also kind of a something that's emphasized, right? And in other religions as well. So here, you know, it just seems like, as you said, that this fasting is not something that is relatively new. It is something that has been prescribed by the Almighty Allah for, you know,
many
I
reasons,
guess,
yes.
Yeah, many reasons, and for thousands of years, because it creates kind of this, you know, strong willpower and this purification of the soul and so forth. I just wanted to add that in there, yeah.
Yes, so the other effects of fasting that Imam Reza also mentioned is that fasting brings that tawazu, humbleness, mm-hmm. humiliation to in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also give hope and raja to that person about receiving rewards from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of the things that fasting does is remembrance of the Day of Judgment.
Sure.
That day,
sure.
We will not have access to food, and we will basically be alone, and we will be needy.
It's in a famous sermon from the Messenger of Allah,
exactly,
sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he says that during your, excuse me, I'm sorry, during your hunger and thirst while you're fasting, remember the hunger and thirst of the Day of Judgment.
Judgment, yeah. Exactly, and also there is. This riwayah says, in every hardship or struggle that you face in your life, get help from fasting.
Wow.
Mm. Yeah, get help. And, you know, usually sabr, which I already mentioned in other sessions and lectures, that sabr usually is translated to patient, but is not. Sabr is the most precise translation of sabr is resistance.
Right.
And usually ulama, when it comes to the word sabr, in the practical manner, they describe it as fasting.
Wow.
So every time,
istainu
sabr wa salat, when it comes to this, it says, get refuge to sabr, which is fasting, and salat, which is,
is
praying.
Prayers.
Yeah, prayers. So, of course, fasting is the basically the fundamental effect that has, that brings up all these different aspects of it, is the power, willpower, controlling your nafs, your emotion, your thought, and your body and your behavior, basically, from all different perspectives. And of course, it's a month of rahmah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easier for the mu'mineen to do that. Also about gaining reward, getting ready for another year,
right?
Getting
right.
ready in order to get closer and basically use this opportunity in order to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there is this beautiful narration that it says that someone came to Prophet Sallallahu Wasallam, and he says, the people of Bani Israel in the previous era, they used to live longer, and they gain more rewards by worshiping Allah. Mm-hmm. So what's happening to us that we usually, the average age is about 60, 70, 80, and we get killed in the battle sometimes. So what's happening to us? Mm. And Prophet Sallallahu says that in order to get more rewards, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the Laylatul Qadr.
Wow.
Mm. Laylatul Qadr, khayrun min alfi shahr. So that anything
better than a thousand months.
Better than a thousand months. So all those ibadah, all those good deeds that we do during the nights of Qadr, it counts thousand and thousand times more than basically a normal deed that we do in other days. Mm-hmm. And of course, this is also included to other days of month of Ramadan. That the good deed that we do in other day, in the any days of during month of during the holy month of Ramadan, it counts as multiply compared to in the reward compared to the other days during the other months. So of course this month is an opportunity month. It's the month of opportunity.
Yes.
It's the month that we have to not only pay attention to change ourselves spiritually in our behavior, in our thought, controlling our body. And you know, one of the things that is mentioned in the riwayah, it comes and says that you have to control your body. And at the same time, it says you have to control your tongue. So the tongue part is very important.
Sure.
Because most people, they don't recognize their talking as their deeds. And this is one of the heedlessness of us, that we are not aware that what we say, it counts as our deeds. So we have to be very careful about our tongue. It is very important during month Ramadan very careful to what we say.
And this is very profound, right? So for example, and I agree with you, very rarely do we consider our speech to be, you know, an action that is held accountable for, right? You know, so many times we're just talking, you know, probably nonsense. But this is very profound, this idea that no, the speech, whatever we say is recorded, whatever we say is, you know,
is counted as an action,
whether good or bad, and kind of the importance of controlling the tongue, not only in the holy month of Ramadan, but the rest of our lives. Yeah,
exactly.
Very profound.
It is, because our speech and our basically what we say has an impact over the society, over the people. With a phrase, we could bring down someone. We could break down someone's prestige, someone's honor. With a speech, we could give honor to someone. With a speech, we could make an enemy. With a phrase, we could make a friend. We could make someone happy. We could make someone sad. So this is very important. It is clear to us. But we forgive. You know, there's no way. There's no need of argumentation that what we say counts as action, because the effect that of our saying has it is so clear that there's no need to argue on that. That it is counted in our basically action in the day of judgment, and we have to answer everything that we say. So, but sometimes we forgive.
Yeah, we forget. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, we forget. Yes, we forget about controlling our tongue, because it's so easy to say anything that comes to our mind.
Especially nowadays in social media world. And
exactly.
You know.
Unfortunately,
You know, people don't even think about what they say most of the time.
there is a positive side of it, that the social media ground is also make the youth aware the effect of the speech of others, so they become more aware of themselves. But this is all about the mu'mineen, inshallah.
Yes.
You know, we want our youth to be more careful of what they say, what they do,
right.
Especially the month of Ramadan, which is the door of blessing is open, and which is make it easier for us to become, to get that awareness that we need in order to control our senses and our basic nafs. So what is happening here, there is another very important thing about month of Ramadan, says in some hadith, is that not only our ibadah, but especially the hadith comes about the fasting. The fasting must not be about greed or the desire of Jannah, the desire of paradise, or the fear of the fire of hell.
Right.
The fasting must be to obey Allah's command for Allah Himself.
Yes.
You know, and if someone, the riwayah says, if someone get to this level of purity during his fasting, Allah Subhanahu wa Taala will answer all his prayers and basically will forgive all the sins and basically purify him as he was born from the first day of his life. So, and there is another also riwayah that is interesting to talk about.
Well, before we go there, right, Sayyid, I'd kind of like to get your advice on this. So, so for example, you know, we might have viewers, or we might have, you know, youth out there, even, you know, somebody who's at an older age, you know, who might be a little bit nervous for fasting, they might be a little bit scared, you know, it's a long time. It might not be 21 hours like the brothers and sisters in Norway, but still, you know, a 15, 16, 18, 19 hour fasting. Some people are a little bit nervous, or they get a little bit scared, and sometimes, you know, they don't fast because of that, and the repercussions for not fasting, you know, are much greater. So some advice, I think, for people who might be a little bit nervous, they might be a little bit scared to go and fast in the holy month of Ramadan.
Well, we have even parents, some of the parents that are worrying about their teenage boys and girls to fast. And I would say, do not be afraid, you know.
Right, sure.
You could see some of the poor people in the society that they do not eat for days.
Yeah.
And they still go to work and they do what they have to do for gaining a living. You could basically see, even get counseling from the doctors or see documentaries about some people that they even fast, they had to fast in order to get rid of a sickness and become healthy. So fasting not only is not difficult, not only has its special spiritual effect, as we said, the willpower and all those rewards and spiritual effects, but also has its body effect. You know, it's basically cleaning the blood circulation, all these, you know, digesting system that we have. So
Imam Ali alayhi salam, he very beautifully says, he says that the key to the diseases of the body lay in the stomach.
The stomach, exactly.
You know, and that's really, so you have cholesterol, you have blood pressure, you have diabetes, you have, I don't know, all the other digestive tract diseases that are out there. May Allah protect everybody. But they all result from the stomach and, you know, overeating and eating, not eating the right things. And
exactly.
So this fasting, as you said, is also purifying the body.
Exactly. And just the word that you said, overeating, be careful of that during the iftar and this. So,
well, it was something, you know, I wanted to also bring up.
That's what some people, because they are afraid of that hunger, they eat so much, they overeat during those time. But be aware that overeating during iftar or during surah is actually going to make you more hungry during the day.
Right, right.
You know, it is more suggested to eat moderately and also have more fruits and those food that basically recover the water of the body.
Right, right.
Yeah, for example, the cucumber or masalan,
watermelon,
those things that is waterly. And also one of the things that is in riwayah is mustahab to eat is the dates during the iftar, which basically has the effect of cleaning the stomach and getting out those basically the bacteria.
Right, right, the bacteria. It's interesting. I didn't want to take the discussion here, but it kind of went there.
Yeah.
So definitely, you know, the brothers and sisters out there, they should refrain from soft drinks and juices, even though sometimes we think, no, juice is okay, but actually juice, because it has high sugar content.
And the acid part, yeah.
Yeah, it actually makes you more thirsty.
More thirsty.
You know, and to try to really overeating, of course, fry foods is very, you know, harmful. It seems like this month and, you know, perhaps, well, I will leave this for another talk show, is this abuse and this misuse of the holy month of Ramadan. So I won't open it. I'll leave that for the next talk show.
No,
with
I would give this give this advice to those people that are fear of that hunger.
Sure, sure.
Not focus on overeating and eat everything. No, this is not the solution.
Right.
Focus on getting knowledge about what to eat.
Right.
In order
that
to
prevent this.
Keep yourself healthy during those time. And not basically put pressure on your body during the 30 days.
Sure.
But so if you read a couple of articles see some of the advices of doctors, you know, physicians, in order to what to eat and nutritions, you could find out what to eat in a little amount, not like overeating, you know. and keep yourself healthy and keep yourself in shape, because especially those people that they have to go to school or to university and they have to go to work, this is very important. Do not just try to solve this problem with overeating. Get knowledge, and then you could eat moderately and inshallah be in health.
So Sayyid Bahbani, I don't know, we're kind of running towards the end of the talk show. If you had another tradition that you'd like to speak about before we conclude, please, in the name of Allah.
So of course, we said all this, and there is the riwayat, it says there's so many, Imam Ali alayhi salam says there's so many people that they do not benefit from their fasting except the hunger. And as Imam Ali says, give a comparison, as there's so many people that they do not benefit from non-sleeping time during the night to do ibadah.
The night vigils.
The night vigils. And it is interesting, this riwayah from Imam Baqir alayhi salam, it says, La siyam al-man asal imam. That the siyam, the fasting, is not accepted from the one that they do not, they are not obedient towards their imam. This is very important. You know, the velaya and being obedient towards your imam is one of the key, not only about fasting, you know, about all your deeds, all your ibadah to be accepted. Even, you know, we have many hadiths, which inshallah we go through another time, but there's so many riwayat that the zakat, the hajj, the namaz, the salat, all these things, their acceptance is depending on the velaya and the obedience towards the imam. So this is a very important part. All your deeds during your life, all your planification that you do, the management that you do about your financial, your studies, your any situation that you are planning for, it must be directed to serving your imam. So this part is very important, even the fasting part.
I wanted to add here, so for example, somebody, you know, for example, let's just say that one of the Ahl Sunnah brothers, they say, that, wait a minute, what do you mean that our fasting is not accepted, you know, if you don't obey the imam of the time, I'll add of the time in there, right? But you have in the books of the Ahl Sunnah brothers, and then the Shias and the Sunni brothers, they both, the scholars accept this, that one who dies without the ma'rifah and the knowledge and the knowing of the imam of their time dies the death of one who dies in zaman-e jahiliyyah, in ignorance, meaning a kufar, a pagan. Right? So I'm just adding to your point that yes, this idea of knowing the imam of your time is very real, you know, and to the point where if you don't know the imam of your time, you die the death of one who dies in jahiliyyah. And so yes, you know, your the actions and the psalm and the fasting, this too, it makes sense that it will be acceptable if you are in obedience to the imam.
Of course. So inshallah, you know, everyone at its own their own capacity, they have to serve their imam. And of course, what we have right now as the one that we have to support and basically help in order to help the cause of imam is the wali of our time, is Walayatul Faqih of the time, is Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei Hafizahullah for now. And inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him a healthy and a length of life. But this is the thing, anything that we have, anywhere around the world, we have to find a way in order to serve and support the cause of imam and support the value of the time. So inshallah, our deeds get accepted, and inshallah, basically be away from any impurity.
Jazakallah, thank you so much, Sayyid Bahbani, for joining us on the talk show. Very beautiful, profound talk show on the holy month of Ramadan. Thank you. Allah bless you and really strengthen all of your tabligh efforts all across the world, inshallah.
Jazakallah khair.
And thank you very much, dear viewers, for joining us on the talk show. We were talking about some of the unique beauties of the holy month of Ramadan. Wherever you are, please remember us in your prayers. May you have a blessed holy month of Ramadan, and may Allah the Almighty accept all of your efforts, your worships, and your prayers in this holiest of holiest months. And that's all from us. Fi amanillah, and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.